Welcome to another prospect interview on No Ceilings NBA on our YouTube channel and in our podcast feed. I'm your host, Maxwell Baumbach. And today I am joined by one of the most interesting prospects in the 2025 NBA draft. He is Temple's Steve Settle III, a 6'10", 3-and-D player with some decision-making and finishing to his game. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're able to set this up. I've been monitoring your game for a long time. You know, even back during the Howard days, I covered you during my No Stone Unturned series, looking at under the radar players. So really glad that you're in the position that you are now, or you're getting that NBA interest. But it's also just been really cool to watch your game develop over the years and see things you've added to your game. Before we get to any of that, what was it that kind of got you into basketball growing up?
Yeah, I think basketball was something that was kind of just very convenient. You know, my parents always wanted to ensure that I was doing something year round. You know, spring was baseball, fall football, and then, you know, basketball was a winter sport. So that's kind of how my parents looked at it. And then, you know, we always had a basketball court in the front yard. Grandparents always had a basketball court. Everyone seemed to have a basketball court, and it just seemed like that was the easiest, you know, thing to do with everybody. And then, you know, as I got older, I kind of fell in love with it. And it just became an outlet for me to you know, a craft for me to try and perfect. So I've been in love with it ever since, and here we are.
Yeah, so if you don't mind me asking, what position did you play in football? Because, like, seeing just a guy who's 6'10", I'm just like, what? What were you doing out there?
Yeah, see, I've always been taller and slim. Mm-hmm. But when I played football, I was like, it was no positions. Like, I was really young.
Sure.
You just give the ball to the dude, he runs. Like, it was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess my position was like a linebacker, obviously nowhere mm-hmm. close to what a linebacker looks like now. But yeah, I guess that was technically my position at the time.
For sure. Were you always like way taller than everybody else, or did you hit a growth spurt at a certain point? Like, what was your kind of physical development like?
I was always tall, not way taller, but I was always tall and slim as a kid. And then, you know, when I got to DeMatha, my junior year, I just had a crazy growth spurt. I think coming into DeMatha, I was like 5'8". And then going into my junior year, I was probably 6'8", honestly. Mm-hmm. And that summer, the way I grew was ridiculous. I can't even really describe it. I honestly just remember waking up one day and I was like 6'3", taller than my dad. And it was just like a shock. Like, it mm-hmm. felt like it literally happened overnight. And, you know, my growth spurt, it wasn't like a quick, it was a gradual, and it went on for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was going into Howard, I think I probably stopped growing officially after COVID.
Yeah.
But by that time I was like 6'10". So
yeah, man,
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. So you mentioned going to Howard. What was your interest and like recruitment like coming out of high school? Because when I first saw you at Howard, like, one of my first thoughts was just like, how did the guy end up like at a lower level college, like given the size and the skill and everything like that? Like, what was the interest level like, and what led you to Howard?
I think, you know, coming out of high school, the interest level was it was zero. It was decent to none. Like, mm-hmm. I went to DeMatha, so I played with stack squad guys like Justin Moore, Jameer Young, Hunter Dickinson, Earl Timberlake. All those guys were all on my team, and those are guys that are pursuing the same thing I'm doing at the moment. So that just goes to, like, I didn't even get much run on my team junior or senior year on varsity. So that's how good DeMatha was. So coming out of high school, you know, I'm playing alongside five stars. I didn't have much college interest. And, you know, I was lucky enough to, you know, to have Kenneth Blakeney take a chance on me, and see something in me. And that was my only offer, only anything coming out of high school. I was committed to a prep school, in Connecticut. And, you know, Coach Blakeney kind of came in, I think he was the second to last hire in D1, in 2019. And he kind of took a chance on me, and I committed without even meeting him, you know, and it was just a good opportunity for me to, you know, redshirt and get a year and try to make something out of it.
For sure. Why do you think it is that Howard has like managed to continuously find like under the radar guys? Cause they had Blake Harper this year, who's like a big buzzy, like up transfer guy. Like, what is it about that staff that they've been able to do that?
Yeah, I think one, it's, they understand the area of the DMV. You know, you look at guys, some of the best guys that's come out of Howard recently, guys like myself, Elijah Hawkins, Blake Harper, all those guys is from the area. And it's so many good players in the DMV that, you know, you go to a program like the Matha and, you know, the guy doesn't have to be a five-star top 10 recruit, but if he's able to make it at the Matha, Gonzaga, Blake Harper went there, like these are good schools with great tradition. Like, guys, it says something about a guy if he can go to one of those schools and come out of it, you know. So I think, you know, guys like Tyler Thornton, Coach Blakeney, like, they understand the type of players that come from DMV, and they've made it a point over the years, especially, you know, since they successes started picking up, to get players from that area. It's a certain way we play, it's a certain way we it's a certain desire we have to be good coming from the DMV. So I think they understand that, and they've done a great job.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So you spent 3 seasons with Howard, only get 5 games in that first year with everything going on, COVID, game cancellations, everything like that. How did you kind of deal with that first year? Because I feel like people forget just like what a tumultuous and odd time that was in college basketball. Yeah. What was that first year like for you?
Yeah, it was crazy because, you know, I had got to college and we went on a foreign tour my first year. So I knew before I was going to Howard, like before I said anything committing, I knew I wanted to redshirt. I wasn't ready to play right away. Mm-hmm. And this is May of me graduating from DeMatha. So we played our 3 games in Spain, and it seemed like I got better each game. I was feeling good. Obviously, I redshirted. I think we ended up winning 4 games that year. So we lost 29, and I had to watch 29 losses. And it's like, you know, you want to be out there, but you know you understand it's a bigger plan. And then the next year, you know, everything that happened with COVID, you know, all we were able to put together a really good team. McCormaker committed, Nogel Eastern.
Yeah.
Wayne Bristol was a rookie of the year. So we had pieces there that we felt like could do something the following year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, myself coming off a redshirt, like we felt like we had everything we needed to try to make some shake. And it just never could quite click with that. You know, COVID was a wild time. You get a positive test, somebody in the program, the whole, every sport shuts down. You have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So it's like, it was just so many hiccups trying to play. And obviously we were only able to get 5 games in. I think I learned a lot in those 5 games. And, you know, during that time, it was more practice than games. Like you were practicing not knowing when you was going to play. So I think the benefit that had on me, just continuing to get reps, continuing to develop, you know, and seeing how guys like McCormaker work, seeing guys like Joe Eastern, how they work, you know, asking them, trying to learn from them, you know, the success they had previously. So I think each step of the way has been, you know, non-traditional, but I think it's worked out in my favor.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has too. So after your 3 seasons there, you went into the transfer portal, you ended up at Temple. What was it that led you there? Was there anything specifically that really jumped out to you? Because I think now in like the era of the portal, you see guys make some really good decisions and some really bad decisions as far as transferring goes. You see some guys that just kind of chase the money. You see some guys that are more concerned about the fit. Like, what was it about Temple that made you say, this is where I'm going to continue down my path?
Yeah, I think so. I think coming to Temple, it was, you know, choosing to come here was a very calculated decision. I think it was a very thought out decision. And like you said, there's so many things that go into making a decision to transfer these days. Like, I understood, you know, I appreciated everything Howard had done for me, but I felt like for me to get to where I'm trying to go, it was best for me to transfer. And my portal process was, again, untraditional. Like, I remember committing to a school, wasn't really too fond of it, but felt like it was a good option. And they left me on red. Like, they went from wanting me one day and saying, yo, we need you. And then 3 days later, I say I'm ready to do it, and they don't respond. So yeah. And it's like, it could literally happen like that. And that's why I believe, you know, everything kind of has worked out for me how it should, because who knows what would happen if I went to that school. But back to your question, with Temple, I just feel like they provided me an opportunity to obviously showcase my skills in a great conference. And they just believed in me from the jump. Like, they called me, and when I talked to Coach Fisher, it just felt like I had known him for forever. Like, we clicked instantly. And I just wanted to get somewhere, not necessarily make all the money in the world, but get to a good staff, get to a good city, get to, like, so many things went into for me, and get into a place where I was going to play. Like, yeah. I think I started every game except two, and I was coming off of sickness when I did start those two, but I played the most minutes I've ever played this past year. Like, all that mm-hmm. has helped me, you know, get to this point.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, you know, when you go into the portal, and you kind of got to weigh all options. And I think my parents and I did that, and we got a good situation out of it.
Absolutely. So you had a, you know, solid first year Temple, really good second year there. What was the jump like going into the American, where it is like one of the better conferences in college basketball? Was there anything that surprised you or anything like that as you first kind of scaled up in competition?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I obviously knew coming from the MEAC, it was going to be a bit of a jump. I don't think I expected it to be that drastic, but I've always been a player. Like, I understand what the work gets you. So when I transferred to Temple, I understood I needed to work on my game. Like, I each summer you got to add something. And I think, you know, the summer leading into my first year at Temple was good, but I think that second summer, understanding what the conference looked like, understanding I was coming back, knowing, like, I was comfortable where I was, and knowing exactly what the work looked like, it just propelled my offseason to heights I couldn't even imagine. Like, last offseason was the best offseason I've had. I think that was the most focused I've been. That was the most intentional I've been about the weight room, shots, everything. I had everything I needed. And, you know, I continued that into the year, and you see, you know, the benefits of that and the improvement from each year. And I think it'll continue. And as I learn and gain more experience, like, that's a trend that will continue.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So let's kind of get into your game. Just kind of a quick overview of the stats this year. You had 12.6 points per game, shot 47.8% from the field, 41.6% from three, just over 73% the free throw line. You had 6.2 rebounds per game, 1.7 assists, 1.1 turnovers, and one steal and one block per game. So really well-rounded production. So a lot that we want to get into there. I think the first thing that always pops anytime someone, you know, looks at a guy that's 6'10" and they're shooting 41.6% from three, that stands out immediately. I always really liked your shot. I think it was one of the things that always drew me to your game. What do you attribute that bump in efficiency to this season, where you really just became a knockdown, like, driller from deep, and not just off the catch, but also like mixing in the occasional, like, hey, here's a hard closeout, here's a pump fake, here's a sidestep. Like, you were a legit shot maker from three this year.
Yeah.
What led to that transformation?
Yeah, I think honestly it was just reps. Like, if I'm being honest, you know, I've always thought I could shoot the ball, but to shoot at this level, you have to put in a lot of reps. And I think if I'm being honest, like, the amount of extra shots I was shooting this past year probably was times 10, 15 of what I was doing previously. And I think that's what it comes down to. Like, as I started to understand what the work looked like my first year at Temple, towards the end of the year, you know, making all conference or all tournament team, and just that confidence towards the end of the season, like I said, it just propelled my offseason, and I just wanted to get right back to work. Like, the run we made, I knew I was going to be a key guy coming back, and I understood what the work got you. So I wanted to put in that work as much as I could, as many reps as I could, as many different variants of shots that I was, you know, going to get. And just to give myself a chance to, like you said, be a shot maker, be someone that could get a bucket when we need one, or knock down a shot. And that was kind of my focus this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it paid off. So, yeah, one of the most impressive shooters your size in this class. I think the other thing that stands out is the 3-and-D label is always in vogue, right? Like, teams want guys that can space the floor, and they want guys who can make an impact on defense. That's been something that you've done throughout your career. Your career steal rate is over two. Your career block rate is over three. Really impressive numbers. Was defense always a part of your game? Like, how did you kind of develop into the both on and off ball defender that you were? Because I remember watching a game. Did you play Kansas when you were at Howard early in the year? Yeah. I remember that game, and like, you just kept getting switched on to different players, and it's like, man, this guy's handling his business against a bunch of different types of guys. And then off ball, the instincts are really sharp. Like, how did you become the defender that you become?
I attribute all that to Coach Blakeney and his staff. I think when I got to college, I was, like I said, 6'10", slow, skinny, couldn't guard anybody. Like, just didn't have the instincts, didn't have anything. But I think in order to be successful at Howard, you know, that's something that program, the culture, that's what they hang their hat on, the defensive end, and doing all the little things on the court. So in order for me to, you know, have a smooth trip over there, I had to lock in on that end. And I think for me, like, once I started getting good at defense, like once I started actually playing it and working on my foot speed and working on my strength a little bit, like, it became fun for me, and locking somebody up became fun. And that's how, you know, that's the kind of players DMV players are. So once that process started, they challenged me to be a good defender. They challenged me to be able to switch 1-5. They challenged me to guard the other team's best player. And I feel like, you know, Howard, they gave me that freedom defensively to try things and use my gifts and my length and my athleticism to kind of be disruptible on offense or defense. And I think it really paid off. And then as I got older, you know, just the experience, film, looking at the way players play, like, all that has kind of shaped how I am defensively. And I still think I can be a lot better. So I definitely attribute my steps defensively to Coach Blakeney and staff.
Yeah, yeah, it stands out. I think what makes your game particularly interesting, though, is I think, like, as big as 3-and-D is, and, like, those are, I would say, like, the two most important aspects, right, of making it as an NBA player in today's environment. I think because the game continues to evolve, you need to have other pieces. You need to be able to move the ball well. You got to be able to finish, like, all that stuff. That, I think, is what really made you sit out for me. Like, when I went into your film this year, the first thing I noticed difference wise was the shot making from three. The defense was good, like it's always been. Your, like, snap decision making was really good this year. You had a 1.7 assists to 1.1 turnovers per game, super low turnover rate. Like, was there a change as far as your decision making goes? Did the game, like, slow down for you? Like, what do you attribute that uptick in assists to?
Yeah, I think, you know, with experience and with, you know, I've been in college for 6 years, playing for four, like, mm-hmm. you know, you understand what defenses do and what decisions need to be made. And I worked a lot on reads in the offseason as well, knowing that I would be handling the ball a lot more this year. And I think for me as well, like, just playing, honestly, like, I didn't play a lot in high school. I didn't play at all in high school. So I'm getting to college and I have no game experience at all. Like, so yeah. I'm just happy to be on the court, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I'm starting, I'm happy to be getting 35 minutes. And I think my development was delayed a little bit because of that, because I wasn't, if you would have seen the way I looked in high school, like, you wouldn't have thought I could get here. Like, I could get to this, you know, opportunities I've gotten. So I think just playing and getting game experience, getting game reps, 4 years of good reps, I think helped improve a lot of my decision-making, the way I see things. And I think it'll only get better. Like, I think there's still so much room to grow and become better in that. And I'm just excited to continue to explore and be better.
For sure. And I think that there's so much value in that from an NBA standpoint too. When you look at the guys that come in older and succeed, a lot of times they have that, like, funky developmental trajectory, yeah. right? Where it was like, I didn't play a lot when I was younger, I grew late, or whatever it is. Like, I do think there is something to that. It's fascinating that you mentioned, yeah, just having not really played as much basketball as you might anticipate for a guy who's coming out their senior year of college and just getting those reps. That's big. Next thing I want to talk about is the finishing, because this was, like, night and day difference. You went from being a guy who, like, didn't get to the rim all that often to getting to the rim quite a bit. So per synergy, 33.8% of your half court shots came at the rim, which is a really good number, especially for a guy who shoots as well as you do. But you made over 60% of your half court rim attempts. That was not where you had been in the past. You were finishing above the rim in the half court. Like, you had some big dunks this year. You just looked a lot more comfortable around the basket. Where did that come from? You also got to the line a ton. Like, you just seemed a lot more physical and a lot more ready to compete around the basket. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just having the confidence and the work put in, knowing that, you know, the finishing was something that I knew I needed to improve. I think the previous year, my first year at Temple, I was shooting 36%, which just was not going to cut it, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, being more physical, having more of a presence on the court, was something that's just going to allow my game to open up. I knew shooting would allow my game to open up, and being a knockdown shooter. And I think that kind of helped me, you know, teams flying out at me, being able to get downhill, and shooting wasn't my first option most of the time. Like, I would prefer to get downhill and dunk on somebody. I would prefer to get downhill and dish it off to one of my teammates. Like, so having the ability and having the respect of other teams and knowing that I can knock down a shot, you know, also helped me get good looks at the basket. And just really, like I said, just using what I've learned previously and what works and playing off 2 feet, like all incorporating all that. And it's like each game, and even starting off the year, like, I don't think I was playing that well numbers wise, but just using what I've learned over the years and incorporate, like, each game, I would try to add something that I didn't do the previous game. And I think that just helped my overall game. And knowing, you know, I was continuing to learn and just wanted to do the work to be good. So definitely was a effort to improve that. And I think it definitely showed.
Yeah, it really did. I was going to say the most stark contrast from seasons past to this year is like, oh man, like, this guy's catching bodies around the basket now. Yeah. You've talked about a lot about the ways that you've improved over the past few seasons. As somebody who's been monitoring you during that time, I could definitely attest to it. What are the things that you're focused on improving most as you're going through the pre-draft process now? Are there elements of your game that you're kind of excited for front offices to see, or even if it's just like, hey, this is a step forward, or hey, this is something new I've added? Like, what do you think will take people by surprise?
Yeah, I think for me, just continue to gain mass and get in the weight room. I think I'm a strong guy, if I'm being honest, just to be able to play at this level. I don't think I'm a weak player, but on paper, my pounds is something that's kind of been a thorn in my side. And that's something that I've seen drastic improvement. Like, I think since I've got to college, I put on close to 50 pounds, and it's continued to get better each year. And I think if that's kind of been my low point that people look at, and I think that's something that's extremely fixable, and something that I've continued to develop. So that would be something that I'm definitely working on. And obviously just getting my game, you know, NBA ready. I think it's a different speed. It's a different pace those guys play. That's a different IQ they have. And just continue to develop that and just gaining reps. I think I will definitely put in the work needed. I know I'm not where I need to be yet, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to where I'm trying to go. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me here tonight. Where can people find you on social media if they want to kind of follow along with your journey and see what's next for you?
My Instagram is 2TEVEO, and the same thing for Twitter and TikTok. So yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We're excited to see what happens next in your career. Steve Settle III, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody listening, we hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Max.